in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, you've got problems in life, everybody has problems in life, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, these people that Peter is writing to, they didn't know the Lord. Peter had saw the Lord, but this is a new generation. Whom not having seen, they haven't seen Jesus. You love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, yet rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So these people had learned the Lord, and they'd learned it through the Word of God. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So that's what's going to happen in the end if we stay steadfast unto the Lord, the salvation of our souls. And there's nothing more important than the salvation of our own personal soul, plus those that we know. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The prophets in the Old Testament, they inquired and they searched diligently. They had this word of God that came to them, but they didn't understand it. And so they inquired and they searched diligently. What is this God is communicating to me to write down? What does this mean? Searching what, or at what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. This is the main verse in this group of verses that we're reading here. But people, these prophets in the Old Testament, they searched what the Spirit was trying to tell them. And they didn't understand what the Spirit was trying to tell them. And they said, when is this stuff going to happen? They looked at what time these things were going to happen. And the Spirit in them testified beforehand, back here in the Old Testament period, before the cross, he testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ. In other words, Isaiah didn't understand what he wrote in Isaiah 53. And he searched diligently and tried to figure it out, what it meant. So did David when he wrote Psalms 2 and Psalms 22. When he testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, Christ's glory at his resurrection, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, unto this generation in the future, unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. The apostles preached the gospel, and they did it by the power of the Holy Ghost that was sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels would just love to get involved in preaching and teaching mankind, but this gospel has been given to earthen vessels, to people like us, and it's up to us to do something with it, to bear fruit, to tell people of the Lord. I was talking to a brother back here in the back this morning. We were talking about some people who just came here last year, and they were full of joy, and they said, oh, we've never heard the Bible like this. This is really great. This is really wonderful. And the van driver was going to pick them up, and so they were just really on fire, and it lasted about a month. And what happened is they missed a Sunday, and then they missed two Sundays, and then they missed three Sundays, and they didn't hear the Word of God. And it's, if you're sick, it's important to read the Bible at home. Get yourself, always feed yourself on the Word of God, because the light will go out if you don't. And so we're going to drop over now in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to drop down to 23. Seeing that you have purified your souls, they've heard the gospel, they've heard the Word of God, seeing that you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. It's really important that we love one another. There's nothing more important than souls. It's the hardest thing that I do around here is to keep harmony among all of you people. It truly is. It is not an easy thing. But it's not easy in business. It's not easy in the world. We are people who always are bickering. The children of Israel always bickered. They always had problems. They always picked and they always nagged. They always had problems. Andrew Carnegie once said, "I know nothing about the production and marketing of steel." And he owned United States Steel Corporation. He was a multi-millionaire. He sold his company in 1900 for $100 million, which would be billions in today's money. He said, "I know nothing about the production and marketing of steel, but I have surrounded myself with 47 people that know everything about the production and marketing of steel, and my job is to keep them in a perfect state of harmony." Now that is hard to do. But Peter here says that we're to love each other that much. We're to have unfailing love for the brethren and love one another with a pure heart fervently, realizing that your soul is more important than my petty feelings. I need to turn the other cheek. I need to ignore that remark. I need to ignore a lot of things. Souls are the most important thing in the whole wide universe. It's all that there is that's going to live forever. Gold won't live forever. Your IRAs won't live forever. Your new cars and your diamonds won't live forever. Only souls and those people that you help to find eternal life will live forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. How are you born? The Word of God is just like a seed. Jesus said, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow." And then he defines what he's sowing, the seed, as the Word of God. Luke chapter 8, verse 8. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Nothing is more important than the Bible and the Word of God. And that's what this series is about, we've been studying. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. All flesh. Grass comes up, springs up every spring, looks great like it's going to live forever, and it dies every fall, doesn't it? For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. Greatest men, the greatest kings is the same way. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. The most important thing that we need to do and always keep in mind is the gospel. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Preachers ought to pay attention to this verse. Ministers ought to pay attention to this verse. If any man speak, if anybody's getting up in front of God's people and speaking, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Speak the word of God, not your own words. Use your own words to explain the word of God. If any man speak, if you got anything at all to say to God's people, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The written word of God. If any man minister, let him do it as to the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so now we're going to look over into 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, a wonderful verse. If any man suffer as a Christian, everybody has problems. We all have problems. Jesus never told us that we wouldn't have problems, that he'd change our life and give us a rose garden. He never told us that. He told us that if we'll become Christians, dedicate ourselves to him, he'll go through those problems with us. That's what he told us. And so it's better to have the Lord with you going through those problems when your mama dies or your sister dies or your baby dies, or you lose all your money, or you have a wreck, or you have a heart attack, if you wind up almost dead. You know, I died 3 times. It's a wonderful thing. You know, when you die in a hospital, they talk about you like you're not there. You know that? They do. I knew it every time. I knew exactly what happened. The first time I died, they put an artificial heart in me. And the next time I died, they put one on my leg. They put a pump on my leg. And each time they shocked me back to life and they put this pump on my leg. And the third time I died, they turned the table on its head, me on my head, and shocked me, and that pump kicked in. The doctor says, "When have we got him set for surgery?" And they said, "He's the fourth one Tuesday." And he said, "He's not going to last a Tuesday." He said, "Get him off these blood thinners. I'm going to come in tomorrow and operate on him tomorrow," which was Labor Day. Now, I was very lucky that God was going through that with me, and that the head of surgery of Baylor Hospital took his Labor Day off and came in and operated on me on Labor Day. Isn't that amazing? God never promised us that we wouldn't have heart attacks. He just promised us that he'd go through all of that stuff with us. So you're going to have problems in life, and we're all going to die. Next time, I'll probably croak. You know, the next time will probably be my time. I probably won't be no miracles like there was last time. But, see, it's our job to be ready. If any man suffers a Christian on your job and your church and your family and your life, if he suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glory God on this behalf. And so now let's go to 2 Peter. In this chapter of 2 Peter, gnostos is a Greek word that means knowledge. And so a group of people looked at Paul's use of this word and Peter's use of this word, and they made a bad mistake. They said there's secret knowledge because of this word that Peter is going to use here. Now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. And so we'll begin reading in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, doulos is a Greek word there, a slave, a absolute slave. Peter is saying he's a slave, not a bond servant, not someone who works for hire. He is a slave, like he is owned. Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle, comes from the Greek word apo and stelo, off sin. And so Peter had been sent off with a commission. And so he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like and precious faith with us, Christians that had been taught, he's writing a letter to Christians that's been taught, and they have obtained a like and precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace, charis is the Greek there. It means unmerited favor with God. Grace and peace. We all hope for peace in life, don't we? I sure don't want any trouble. I don't want any trouble around here. I don't want any trouble at my house with my wife. I don't want any trouble at all. We want peace, don't we? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Now this word here, knowledge, is epipanostos. It's not just knowledge, it's epipanostos. And the Gnostics, a group of people who came along later, they said, "Oh, that word must be some secret knowledge." But it doesn't mean that. It means a full knowledge. It means an ever-maturing knowledge. It means a growing knowledge, like a seed is planted in the ground and grows up to become a plant. That's what God wants you to have, is a pipanostos, a full knowledge of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to just have a small, shallow knowledge. He doesn't want you being a part of some secret society. There's no such thing. Jesus didn't give any kind of secret stuff. It's all out in the open. Because God in Christ wants everybody to know. He wants Jordy to have the same shot at knowing God that I have. So he's given us a written revelation so that we can read it and we can all understand it and we can come to a full knowledge and a pipanostos, a full mature knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and Fair to Midland gospel preaching. We liked three hits, having 100,000 hits last month. We downloaded a record amount of sermons, a record amount of written lessons. It is a wonderful thing. 50 countries came to our website. We have a ministry here. We're on the radio 6 hours today. I don't know how long that'll last. We're going to have to probably go back to 3 hours in the next month or two. Unless somebody gives us some money, God sends some money from China or somewhere, or Guam, or the Philippines, or no telling where. God has the ability to do anything that He wants to do. And so God wants us to have epipenostos, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge, through the full knowledge, the mature knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power hath. I want you to notice that word hath. It is a past tense verb. It's already happened. Peter is saying by the time that he writes 2 Peter that God has already given us everything right here in His book that pertain to life and godliness. Paul has probably already been killed. 2 Timothy's already been written. 1 and 2 Peter's already been written. Everything has probably been written except Jude and Revelation. And you don't need Jude and Revelation to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have a full knowledge of what you need to do to learn to live a Christian life. It's all there from Matthew to 2 Peter. It's everything that you need. According as His divine power hath, past tense verb, already happened, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The conduct necessary for us to maintain eternal life with the Lord. There are certain things that will remove us from the grace of God. Don't let anybody fool you and tell you that you can sin all you want now that you've become a Christian and that God doesn't care and you can't lose your salvation. If you sin and you commit major sin after you become a Christian, you need to repent of that. You need to confess it to the Lord and you need to stop doing it. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. I tell this story every few years. I was at Leavenworth and teaching a class, and a guy named Justice, he was a hippie guy, and he was robbing banks, and he'd take the ones and the fives and the tens, and he'd go down to the ghetto, and he'd go and slip it under the door of people's houses at night. And he'd keep the 20s and the 50s and the 100s for himself. And so he was robbing banks. And so he gets caught and they send him to Leavenworth. And so he tells me about this. And he said, you know what happened, Kelly? He said, I was eating peyote and smoking that stuff. He said, and I was in a cave in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I seen a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told me to rob banks and give money to the poor. He said, do you believe that? And I said, Justice, I said, I believe that you think you saw something. And you probably did, eating that peyote. No, I don't think that the Lord Jesus Christ told you to rob banks and give money to the poor. So he copped an attitude. He got air in his jaws, man, real bad. He wouldn't talk to me for years. And he'd just speak, you know, we'd just speak as we passed. So I was teaching Sunday school one Sunday, and I look up, and God will cause things to happen at just the right time. He comes in and sits down on the back row, and he'd never been in one of my classes. This has been years. And I'm reading right at the right place. And I'm in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm reading along. And so if you misquote that verse and you move that comma, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. If you misquote that verse and you move that comma, then it sounds entirely different. So I'm reading along, and I said, let him who stole steal no more, let him labor with his hands. And so Justice said, I knew it was in there. I knew it was in there. Where's that? And so, but it's not in there. That's not the way of life that God would have us have. God wants us to have a full knowledge, and according to His divine power, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, the conduct that is necessary for us to maintain eternal life. Through the knowledge, again, it's epipnostos, the knowledge of Him that has called us unto glory and virtue, moral goodness, whereby we are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Paul says all the promises of God in Him are yea, means yes. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And that's, I'm in Christ. That promise is to me, it's given to me, and in no way will He cast me out. Are given the great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We can start becoming just like Jesus. It's not easy, but we can start becoming just like Jesus. What is God like? He's just like Jesus. What does He want us to be like? He wants us to be just like Jesus. We can start ministering to the poor. We can start doing things for the poor. We can start helping the poor. I couldn't believe Regina's family and your sister, Regina, and all of the stuff that your family had gathered up for the poor and the homeless down here last week in this room. They had everything. They had shampoo, and they had deodorant, and they had stuff, and they had clothes. They had all manner of stuff, and they'll be back with it again because they didn't give it all away. They'll do it again, I'm sure. That's just exactly what Jesus is like. That you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We all lust for something, money, women, boys, song, whatever it is. We need to escape from that. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your, and what that means is this, add this on your part. This is your job. Christ died on the cross to save you from your sins. That's His part. Now this is your part. Add to your, on your part, add this. Add to your faith, virtue. Virtue is moral goodness. And to virtue, knowledge. Again, this epipnostos, this full knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance means you don't drink as much as you used to. You don't cuss as much as you used to. You don't sin as much as you used to. Be temperate in all things. Temperance. And to temperance, patience. Be patient. Don't fly off the handle like you used to. Get your emotions under control. You know, Proverbs says that the person who can control their own self is more mighty than a king who conquers a city. Self-control makes us more mighty than Nebuchadnezzar, who conquered all kinds of cities. And to your patience, godliness, start becoming more and more like God. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, start trying to be kind to people. Washing feet is a dirty job. Feet stink. Feet stink. It's a dirty job, washing feet. Brotherly kindness. Charity. This charity here is love. And for these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge, epipnostos again, the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If you go back to your old sins, you go right back to sinning again. After you become a Christian, you're blind. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. And so I want you to notice that you can fall. Some people will say that you can't fall. You see, the Baptists teach that eternal security, the saints, they call it. And you know I believe that. I believe every saint will be eternally secure. But the problem is sometimes people stop acting like saints and start acting like devils. And so those aren't eternally secure. You can fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Peter says that I'm not going to be negligent. He's right at the end of his life to put you always in remembrance of this. How can he do that if he's fixing to die? The only way he could do it is write it down so it would live forever. Remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meant, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, as long as he's in his body. Knowing that shortly, the Greek word there is techene, it means swiftly and suddenly, shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. So if you put up on, if you go to John chapter 21, verse 18, verily I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walketh whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying what death he should glory God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. And so Jesus had told Peter, when you get to be an old man, you used to put your clothes on and go wherever you wanted to go. But when you get to be an old man, there's going to be a time that you're going to have to stretch out your hands, and they're going to tie your hands up, and they're going to take you someplace that you really don't want to go. Now, none of us really ready to die. You know the old joke about preacher says, hey, who wants to go to heaven? Everybody held their hand up with one guy, Brother Jones. And so preacher asked him after church, said, don't you want to go to heaven when you die someday? He said, oh, yeah, sure, preacher. He said, I thought you was getting a busload ready today. You know, I'm not ready today. But yeah, when I die someday, I'd like to go to heaven, yeah. So Peter was like that. When he went out to die the martyr's death, he really just didn't want to do it. But he's going to tell us why right here that he did do it. Now see, it's all right to be scared. We're all scared. My dad got so scared in the Aleutians that his hair turned white overnight in World War II. His hair turned white overnight. He was 42 years old. And the water was so cold that you'd only live for 3 or 4 minutes. And the other guy that had to fly the day before, he couldn't find his way back to the ship. And so my dad's got to go the next day and do the same thing. And my dad's hair turned white overnight. He told me, he said, you know, a brave man gets scared just like everybody else. You know, we all get scared. But a brave man goes on and does what he's got to do. And that's what Peter's going to do here. He's going to go on and do what he's got to do. Knowing this is shortly, swiftly, or suddenly, I must put off this, my tabernacle, my body, even as the Lord Jesus showed me years ago. He told me that they're going to do this to me. And I know he's let me know that it's now's the time that I'm going to have to do that. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He said, I've made arrangements and to sneak this letter out of here, to get it to you, so that you can always remember these things. I've made arrangements. I've bribed the guards or whatever he had to do. He's made arrangements to get this letter of 2 Peter out of prison so that the church forever would be able to know these things. That you might have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. A fable is a tale of a supernatural happening. Fables were made known unto you, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come. He's coming with power. He's coming in power and glory. I don't know when it's going to be. It could be tomorrow. It could be 1,000 years from now. But I know one thing. I know the earth has never been as wicked as it is today. And I know one thing, that we, the church, have really lost the battle. We're not going to conquer the earth. People don't believe anymore. They don't want to hear about God anymore. It's been taken from our schools. Now, in Russia and Ukraine, they're starting to teach the Bible in school. God probably blessed that country that does that kind of thing. But He's not going to bless us here. I mean, why should God bless this country? I mean, we really have become quite wicked, haven't we? So the Lord is coming. He's coming in power. He's coming in glory. And we have not followed cunningly devised fables, and we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Peter says, I've seen this stuff with my own eyes. And that's what gives me courage enough to go and die the martyr's death that he's fixing to die. For he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory. Peter could have told about all kinds of things, couldn't he? About Christ walking on the water. Come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. He could have told all kinds of things. How he ran to the tomb and saw it empty. What jumped out at Peter at this moment right here that he brings us back to? For he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I have well pleased. PowerPoint man, go to Matthew 17, verse 1. And so Peter thinks back on this time of all the things that he had done with Jesus. He thought back on this. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment white as the light. And so you can see a kind of a description of the glorified Christ in Revelation chapter 1 that you can read. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. Moses, the great lawgiver of the Old Testament. Elijah, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. The Old Testament's divided into two different groups, the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and all the rest of it is prophets. All the rest of it is the prophets and the writings. And so these two men, Moses and Elijah, represent all of the Old Testament. And so what's happening here? Jesus is transfigured, and there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And so the Feast of Tabernacles began 5 days after the Day of Atonement. And it was the harvest, the time of the first harvest, and it commemorated the tents or the booths that the children of Israel lived in when they wandered and when they came out of Egypt. And so God had told them that during this Feast of Booth, they were to pitch a tent in your backyard. Even if you own a house, go out and sleep in a tent in your backyard. That's what the Feast of Booth was. And you did pitch a tent out and go camp out in your backyard and have a feast. And so Peter says, you want us to build a booth, a tent here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah? And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The time has come that no longer are we to listen to the law of Moses. That's not the way of salvation. The law of Moses that was given back here in 1447 B.C., that's not the way of salvation. It's not the way of the prophets in this Old Testament period. Now we're to hear Jesus Christ. That's the way of salvation. And so that's what Peter remembers when he's facing death, how God himself testified out of a cloud and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Moses is passing away. The prophets are passing away. Hear the Son of God. Verse 17 again. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. For he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and Fairview Midland gospel preaching. Verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. We heard this. We didn't deliver you cunningly devised fables. This isn't a tale. This isn't a joke. This isn't pie in the sky and a sweet by and by. We heard this and are willing to give our life for it. We heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, I don't know how prophecy could be any more sure than the way that it was in the Old Testament. But Peter is saying that New Testament prophecy is a more sure word of prophecy than Old Testament prophecy. And we've studied it in the last month, how Old Testament prophecy, every word that came out of the prophet's mouth had to be fulfilled. So from a human standpoint, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He's in a dungeon. He's in a dungeon. He's fixing to die. And he says, it shines like a light in here to me, in a dark place, until the day dawn and a day star arise in your hearts. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, is what is called the star prophecy. And so Balaam gives a prophecy about Christ coming. Numbers 24:17. I shall see him, but not now. The Christ, he's talking back there in between 1400 and 1450 B.C. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. He's not real near. It's going to be 1500 years. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name's changed to Israel. A descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is going to be this star. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. A scepter is what a king holds. So this Christ, when he comes, is going to be a king. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, one verse there, Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So what is this bright and morning star that's going to rise in your hearts? Jesus Christ. And how can you get it? Through the Word of God. It's the only way. Back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star, that bright morning star, rise in your hearts. Knowing this verse, that no word of prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You hear it all the time. You hear preachers say, oh, the Lord's told me this, the Lord's told me that. And I know this, and nobody else knows it. And I know that the Lord's going to come back in 2012. Or I know the Lord's going to do this, and I know that. Nobody else knows it. It's a bald-faced lie. It's a bald-faced lie. There's no such thing as any private interpretation of Scripture. Why would God tell me something that he wouldn't tell you? You think he loves me any more than he loves you? No. Why would he give me more information than he'd give Jordy? Jordy's a fine man. He's a wonderful man. Why would he give me any more information than he would give any of you? It's not going to happen. God loves us all the same. Every one of us are the same. People who say that are liars. There's no such thing as secret prophecy and stuff like that, like the Gnostics had. God wants us all to come to a full knowledge of Epinostos. He wants us to mature and grow. There's no such thing as a secret that I know something that you don't. The only difference is I studied more than you have. And Jordy is catching me and past me in a lot of things. I'll tell you that right now. He's like a walking concordance. I wished I could remember like that. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's a bald-faced lie. It's all given to every one of us equally. God's given us His Word, every one of us. And that's how He reveals Himself. For prophecy came not in old time, back here in the Old Testament period, by the will of man. You just couldn't will and say, well, instead of being a carpenter, I'm going to be a prophet. It wasn't that way. That's not the way that it happened. You couldn't will to be a prophet, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, and that Greek word there means carried along, like a ship on the ocean is blown by the wind and carried along by the wind. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so that's how it worked. And so I want to quickly look into 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But as there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privily, and this is the word here that I just want to tell you about a minute, privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. This word here, privily, it means right beside the truth. We're going to study next week in Galatians. We don't have time this week, but in Galatians 1, this false gospel that Paul talks about, it's like a suit of clothes. God gives you a new, nice cotton robe to put on. And so this is like taking that cotton robe off and putting a wool robe on. Well, it's a robe. It's right along beside the real thing, but it's not the real thing. It's a counterfeit. That's how the devil works. He's going to bring in all manner of counterfeits right along beside the truth. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And our Baptist friends say, he that believeth and is saved should be baptized. And our Catholic friends say, he that's baptized and saved shall someday believe when he grows up. See, they baptize infants. He that's baptized and saved shall someday believe when he grows up. And of course, the universalists, they say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be saved also. So they put it right along beside the truth, right up beside it. And God wants you to have sense enough of Epinostos, a full knowledge of the truth, so that you can not be taken in, suckered in by that stuff. I see the devil throws out there just like a bait, like a hook. And he wants you to bite. Don't bite. Stay with the Bible. Get a full knowledge of Epinostos. Get a full, ever-maturing knowledge. Be like a seed that's planted, it grows. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say it with me. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the Apostle Paul said, that which I preached unto you, that which you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if, big word, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you. What if you forget it? What if you forget it? What if you forget what the gospel is? It tells you, unless you believed in vain. John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try ye the spirits where they be of God. For many false prophets have gone out of the world. Ask your preacher, what's the gospel? If he can't tell you it's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you need to get yourself another preacher. You need to get yourself another preacher. He tells you it's the good news. Tell him, yeah, I know it comes from the Greek word euangelion, the good news. The good news about what? If he can't tell you it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you need to get yourself another preacher. If you're not hearing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your sermons, you need to get another preacher. You need to get yourself out away from that. The Bible teaches we need to believe. It's the first thing that we need to begin adding. Believe. John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even as many as believe on his name. And the Bible teaches we need to have faith, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's the first thing you've got to do. And then you've got to believe the faith part, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, but you got to believe that he'll keep his word. See, I can believe this chair will hold me up, and I'll demonstrate no faith in it till I sit in it. You must have faith and trust with reliance in God to save you. You must be willing to repent of your sins. It doesn't mean that God's going to wave a magic wand over you and make you Pat Boone and Mr. Clean. It means that you're going to turn from sin to God. For the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible teaches we need to confess Christ as Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the Bible teaches we need to be baptized into Christ. Ananias asked the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. He said, and why tarriest thou? Why are you putting it off? I'm asking you that this morning. Why are you putting it off? Why are you waiting? Why are you taking a chance the devil's going to run over you in a bus? Why are you putting it off? And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Don't you want all your sins gone? And wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. If you need to become a Christian, now's going to be your opportunity. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late? If you need the help of the church or the prayer of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?